the Yearbook Sportscast. I'm your host, Doug. According to the commentary, as says in the yearbook at hotmail.com to contact us, according to the commentary, at the 2023 Women's World Cup, how many heavy favorites are there going to be? The commentary at this year's World Cup has included the phrases, the exact phrases, the future looks bright or the future's bright, so many times, all but two countries are going to be the odds-on favorites at the 2023 Women's World Cup. We did not do a podcast last week. We were waiting for the Julian Edelman documentary to be released. Yes, that is why we didn't have a podcast last week. By the way, find this podcast wherever you find podcasts. Just go to your favorite site and search the yearbook, and odds are pretty decent that it will come up. Showtime did premiere its Julian Edelman documentary, 100% Julian Edelman. And anyone who really likes him has seen it by now. Now, as far as we know, this is only the second ever sports documentary made about an athlete born on May 22nd. The Marcus Dupree, ESPN 30 for 30, The Best There Never Was, that was the other one. And the Dupree documentary was really, really good. There was no problem with it. It's just it was more about whatever happened to rather than here's a really famous guy. Athletes born on May 22nd really do get less publicity than other athletes. We checked. But I think that's mostly because players born on 5/22 include former Blue Jays and Royals pitcher John Bale, former NHL player Yanni Nienema, and former NBA player Randy Brown. And what do we mean? Well, we'd love to see, this is the truth, we'd love to see documentaries on all three of those guys, but by and large, May 22nd athletes are not famous. But Julian Edelman shares a May 22 birthday, and he is famous, and his documentary is borderline excellent. First off, it almost never takes itself seriously. The narrator hates the Patriots. Next, just like the director Christopher Nolan found new ways to shoot superhero movies with his Batman trilogy, the makers of 100% found newer ways to present sports, the slightly different camera angles they use, the slightly different video of coaches taking the field, the workouts accompanied by piano music. If you think Hard Knocks has gotten stale, this is how Hard Knocks should look. Although, let's be fair, and we do have to be fair, Hard Knocks has to take things that happen and then make it into a story 2 or 3 days later. They're on an extreme deadline. Plus, it's hard for me to call something stale when the video on Hard Knocks is relentlessly stellar. Plus, NFL Films, which does Hard Knocks, also has a hand in the Edelman movie. Anyway, back to the Edelman movie, 100%. Next, it successfully shows unknown moments that would be difficult to recreate even in a movie with actors. Just little moments. Moments like the aura that surrounds Tom Brady's hometown. And when Edelman's father just all of a sudden starts running toward the Patriots locker room. 100% Julian Edelman might be a little too long, and his birthday's never mentioned, but almost everything works. And if this is holding you back, it is not really about how great are the Patriots. Baseball. The New York Post newspaper reports that Mets general manager Brody Van Wagenen, while watching a Met game from his home on his TV, got word to the Mets manager Mickey Callaway at the game to remove pitcher Jacob deGrom, and Callaway did take deGrom out of that June 1st road game. In other words, the Mets front office is allegedly telling the manager how to manage. So far, Van Wagenen says it didn't happen. So if it did happen and he won't tell the truth and the manager is taking the fall, that's a big problem. The GM supposedly contacted a Mets staffer to pass along the order to Callaway, but the Post says the rules say coaches and players can't use cell phones anywhere during a game. So that could be a big problem. But the front office managing the team is not shocking and it's not unexpected. This is how teams want things to work. Now, this is not at all a criticism of the Post or its reporting. This is just me being surprised that everyone is surprised. Except for newborns and infants, we were all there 2 years ago when teams got rid of successful managers and older managers and replaced them with younger, outside-the-box guys who embraced advanced stats like ultimate zone rating, fielding, independent pitching, or FIP, and isolated power. And the new managers were seen semi-creepily as an extension of the front office. Managers now are expected to work in harmony with the general manager and agree to carry out the organization's philosophy on how to play baseball. Well, didn't that always happen? No. For example, take the defensive shift. This is when all or almost all of the team's fielders move to the extreme one side of the diamond because that's the side of the field where a batter usually hits it to, so it'd be easier to field something to get the out. Now, reviewing reams of data, our hypothetical general manager and his hypothetical front office believe the shift will win games. They all meet with the hypothetical manager, and everyone comes out of that meeting agreeing the team must use the defensive shift in games. If you want to take something a little less stilted, prior to a game, the entire front office comes to the conclusion that player A has to be removed from the lineup and player B has to be added to the lineup and should bat fifth. The manager then makes those moves. This has been happening in plain sight since at least 2017, and everyone's been openly talking about it since at least 2017. I'm sure some managers hate being perceived as front office robots, and at least some managers are not front office robots. It's not really fair, but if you want to be a major league manager, that's unfortunately the current job description. Now, if Van Wagenen did contact Callaway from home in front of his TV, that is not how the flowchart was drawn up exactly, but this is just an over-the-top example of baseball's current standard operating procedure. It is not a big leap from, we all agree this pitcher should be taken out, to, I'm insisting you take this pitcher out. That's like the next step. I don't necessarily agree this is the way things should be run, and I'm not saying Van Wagenen and Callaway are good at their jobs, but in this quasi-creepy era of the manager as front office extension, you shouldn't be surprised at all if this Mets thing actually happened. What was your reaction when the Tampa Bay Rays unveiled at a local museum plans to play half their home games in Florida and half their home games in Montreal in the future? We thought, it's an idea so terrible, let's not even dignify it with a response. Now let's dignify it with a response. It's very hard to win a World Series, and the Rays have already never won a World Series. Now you're asking them to win a World Series under impossible, nearly impossible conditions? Here's just one scenario, and I apologize, I cannot do a female voice. The Rays' future third baseman falls in love in Tampa. I can't live without you. I must have you. But I have to leave for Montreal for the next 3 months. But my family is here and my job, I can't leave. We play Atlanta, so that's only a 7.5-hour drive. Gee, I don't think this is going to work out. Here's another scenario. This is the wrong size copier paper. Oh, the good copier paper's in Florida. And those are just two of the unlimited number of things this franchise would have to overcome just to win. It's an idea so unbelievable, you would think it's actually just an unbelievable ploy to have a stadium built in one of the two aforementioned regions, or even elsewhere. Isn't anything good happening in baseball? Yes, Josh Bell. Josh Bell is having an unexpectedly awesome season. He plays for the Pirates. This is like his fourth year now. Also, our new hero, Corey Dickerson, plays for the Pirates. He's a left fielder, born on May 22, 1989.